Tilda and the Quatsch Monster, the best of friends, it's obvious. Swinging over houses, riding on their bikes to the moon.
Hello, listener! It's me, Matt, the author of the story you're about to hear. If you are listening to this by yourself right now, I strongly recommend you press pause and find a friend to join you, because there are voot monsters everywhere in this episode, a whole city full of them. So even I am not gonna listen alone. I am joined in the studio by a fan of the show who won our contest on Instagram. Why don't you go ahead and say hi to the audience?
Hi to the audience.
You can get right up on that mic. Don't be shy. Say hi so everyone can hear you.
Hi!
Okay, that was loud. Go ahead and take your hat off. Let's have a little chat about what you like about the show.
I don't like anything about your show.
Oh. So you're one of those fans who mail helpful feedback about the story. That's okay, too. We love that. Why don't you just tell me what your name is?
Joe.
Well, thanks for coming down to the studio, Joe.
My full name is Joe Show Stinks.
Okay, we're very happy to have you here, Joe Show Stinks. So, what do you...
No. You say, my show stinks, because your show stinks.
My show stinks. Hey, you're that voot monster who was in the studio in the episode 4 intro.
Actually, that was the episode 3 intro.
Is there any security in this place?
Hello, listeners. I'm the author of the story. Now, here comes the chapter where Squash and that kid mess everything up. Hope you don't like it.
You keep your... Is that your tail? Don't you touch that button! I'm not... Chapter 9. Uninvited. The first creature Tilda met in New Voot City was a voot monster. With the head of an elephant and the puffed-up worm body typical of these creatures, it slithered right up to her, lifted its trunk, and said,
"So it's true."
"What's true?" Tilda asked.
"Humans are even uglier in person."
A second voot monster with the head of an ant appeared and joined the first.
"I believe you need a permit to be that ugly,"
it said, emitting an obnoxious clicking sound.
"Do you have a permit to be that ugly child?"
The elephant-headed monster jumped in before Tilda could respond.
"Don't say that to her. She's a treasure."
Then, flapping its enormous ears, it trumpeted,
"And by treasure, I mean she should be buried."
Just like bullies at home, Tilda knew these creatures might lose interest if she didn't react to their insults. But she had to stick up for herself. "You're calling me ugly? That's even stupider than..." Quatch slapped a stretchy hand over Tilda's mouth.
"Remember," he whispered, "we're on a mission."
Tilda peeled his hand off her face. "I know, but we can't always just ignore them, can we? Remember what Chirp said? That doesn't solve anything."
"We're not trying to save the world today. We just need to find an obnoxious little sea turtle in that casino over there,"
Quatch said, pointing to a building down the street. Like everything in this city, the gaming hall was an ashy black color. It had tall, barred windows and two fat, round pillars at the entrance. A sign hung over the doorway, which read in white block letters, "Stay and Play."
There was a crush of bodies trying to get into the entrance, and more were joining the crowd every second. Even the two voot monsters who had spoken to them moments ago slithered off to join the mob. Tilda laughed. "That's where we're supposed to go? You've got to be kidding. The only way we could get in there is if..." But Quatch was already working on the solution, inspired by Tilda's ridiculous idea. He pinched his nose and blew, inflating his body like it was made of balloons. Now standing a muscular 7 feet tall with thick arms and an enormous belly, he took Tilda by the hand and said in a deep voice,
"Come on, Tilly. I'm sure they'll let us in if we ask nicely."
Leading the way, the oversized Quatch pushed through the crowd, nudging voot monsters and other creatures to the side with his enormous gut.
"Excuse me, sorry, beg your pardon."
When they'd finally squeezed through the entrance of the gaming hall, Quatch slammed the doors behind them. Inside, Tilda marveled at the rows upon rows of screens, each with one or more creatures crowded around its flashing colors and blinking lights. She recognized the hypnotic eye candy as the very same game which had transformed her neighbor, Miss Anita, into an angry, detached grump, although Anita had played the game on her cell phone. Looking at the reactions of the people on the gaming floor, it was difficult to understand why they were engaging with these machines. Everyone seemed so unhappy, cursing and shouting and slamming their fists, paws, wings, flippers, and tails onto the screens. Not far away, a pink and blue spotted monkey wearing white reading glasses got so frustrated he let out an ear-splitting shriek. Directly behind him, a group of voot monsters belched in satisfaction.
"Look at what they're doing to these poor creatures," Tilda cried. "Did you know about this?"
The muscular Quatch placed an inflated arm on her shoulder.
"I've lost many friends to this place."
Suddenly, a siren went off and lights started flashing. At first, Tilda thought they were going to be captured. But then she realized that the sounds were coming from one of the machines on the floor, as one lucky panda bear had apparently just won the game. The purple and white creature jumped for joy. The screen flashed smiley faces, a confetti cannon fired, showering her in a small pop of sparkling paper. Next to the winner, a crocodile standing upright and wearing a jean jacket groaned.
"Oh, I see. You deserve to win, but I didn't.
A giant spider hanging over the machine bounced in excitement.
"Oh, wow, we won, we won! What an honor," she said. "To think that I helped you win the game by playing that machine myself just moments ago. I assume you'll be sharing the prize with me?"
Within moments, a fight broke out between the panda, spider, and crocodile. Several delighted voot monsters stood behind them, belching and getting bigger. Tilda was ready to leave.
"Let's go. Maybe if we wait outside..."
"Not without that turtle,"
Quatch Monster said. Then he plugged his nose and inflated himself even bigger. When he stopped puffing, his head was touching the ceiling.
"Hey, Arthur!"
he shouted.
"Where are you, buddy? Come over here and say hello to your old friend, Quatch!"
But amid all the chaos, no one seemed to care. The panda who had won ran out of the hall, followed by several hissing voot monsters. Somewhere else, another siren went off. As before, this was immediately followed by shouting and arguing. Behind Tilda, the crowd outside broke down the door and stormed inside the hall. And that's when it all just became too much for Tilda. The anger, the noise, the disappointment and jealousy, the sadness and flashing lights and everywhere, screens, screens, screens! outside these walls was a world full of life and adventure and actual fun. Why would anyone choose to be a part of this? Tilda's hands began to shake and her imagination began to boil. The future could be so beautiful, but here, now, it had to start with turning these things off. "That is enough!" she screamed in a voice that resonated deep within her. Her words ripped through the room. Every screen went blank. Every speaker went silent. Tilda opened her eyes and saw the gaming hall, silent and colorless, full of voot monsters and their unhappy victims, all glaring at her. Quatch Monster cleared his muscular throat.
What my friend here wanted to say was, has anyone seen Arthur?
The crowd parted, and a tiny sea turtle wearing a tuxedo and top hat stepped forward. He was not happy.
"Are you trying to ruin my honeymoon?" he shrieked. "Turn the entertainment back on!"
"No," Tilda answered, though she wasn't sure she could, even if she wanted to. "Can't you see these things are making you crazy?" Arthur shook his cane.
"Everyone was having fun until you got here. Now get out!"
Quatch transformed back to his normal shape and size and slid up next to the turtle.
"Actually, we were hoping you would come with us."
"I am not going anywhere."
"Please," Tilda persisted. "I need your help."
"I don't want to help you," Arthur bellowed, stamping his foot.
At that moment, Tilda realized that their mission was lost. How can you convince someone to want to help? Quatch crumpled up on the ground. Tilda grabbed her limp friend by the hand and dragged him slowly back towards the entrance. As they were about to leave, they heard Arthur mutter one final insult.
"That's right. Go back to your stupid band. Your music is terrible anyways."
This made Quatch pop back into shape. His face turned red and his hair stood straight up.
"What did you say?"
he growled. Then he spun around and let loose a string of the strangest profanities and insults Tilda had ever heard.
"You grumble, grudging tantrum whipper! Your taste is worse than a burp after a favorite dinner you made, which was actually so bad it made everybody cry! Go ruin somebody else's day with your symphony of crap, okay? Because we don't need you! You blotchy, flippin' squash!"
As Quatch continued cursing, he got madder and madder. Every voot monster in the place gulped down mouthfuls of his rage, expanding bigger and bigger. Their swollen bodies pressed up against the walls, the floor, the ceiling. The room began to shake. At the center of it, the tiny turtle named Arthur opened his mouth and inhaled. His belly swelled, his arms and legs inflated. Then he popped in a cloud of ash and black dust. When the air cleared, his transformation was complete. Arthur had become a turtle-headed, worm-bodied voot monster. Then Arthur and all the other voot monsters let out a seismic belch, sending Tilda and Quatch flying across the gaming hall, crashing through the walls, and soaring out into the air over New Voot City. Under different circumstances, from way up here, Tilda would have taken the opportunity to admire the view of the island. Or she would have comforted her friend Quatch, who was wrapped around her leg, crying bitter cotton candy tears. Or she would have laughed at the insanity of everything that had just happened. But she didn't. She was too focused on the figure streaking towards them. It looked like an old woman piloting a bicycle across the blank white sky. She had a yellow and purple monkey riding with her in a basket on the handlebars. A string of balloons danced in the wind behind them, like a flying birthday party coming to rescue Tilda and her best friend and take them back home.
So that's the end of the story. Voot monsters take over, and nobody gets saved by that old lady and the nerdy stuffed animal.
She's a monkey, and that's not the end!
Chapter 10, The Farewell Concert.
I'm telling you, this snurzelberry, or whatever you call it, tastes like grape!
Anita shouted, slamming her empty smoothie glass on the table.
You can make up whatever fancy name you want for it, but that, my friends, is grape.
Tilda was struggling to keep from laughing. What her neighbor didn't know was that after drinking one of Quatch Monster's oddly named smoothies, her face had taken on an iridescent shade of purple.
Now what else you got?
Miss Anita crowed.
Even if the name is stupid, I haven't tasted anything this delicious in years.
Gab Monkey handed her a small mirror.
Actually, I wouldn't recommend mixing flavors, she said. The pigment change can be permanent.
My face!
Anita shrieked.
I look like a purple monstrosity!
Hey! Quatch Monster snapped. I resent that!
After their confrontation in New Voot City and the well-timed rescue by Miss Anita and Gabby, the friends had gathered in Quatch Monster's Royal Snack Experimentation Hall. They were seated in golden thrones around a long stone table, an array of plates and bowls spread out in front of them. One by one, they'd been taste-testing different experimental treats which their host had been developing in his lab. There's nothing wrong with looking like a purple monster if you are a purple monster, Tilda said. But imagine you suddenly looked like an old lady. How would that make you feel?
Hey! Anita shouted. I'm not old. I've just been alive for a long time.
And I am not purple,
Quatch said.
I'm the color of a golden summer sunset. Now give me a slice of that marshmallow quesadilla thing.
The table was buzzing with excitement. No one wanted to talk about what had happened at New Voot City. Tilda couldn't bring up the topic of going home. Now that she was surrounded by friends, she didn't want to think about leaving. She was especially happy to be back in the company of Boom, the fastest rabbit in the world.
Oh, I would highly recommend trying some of whatever that is, the huge tree-like rabbit said. I can tell you, the drinks with the bloomy things on top are absolutely delicious.
Gabby said, inspecting his empty glass.
I believe that was just a vase full of flowers, you know, for decoration.
The table erupted in laughter. For a moment, Tilda felt like maybe she was already home. Later that night, they changed locations to Quatch Monster's sleepover cabin, a cozy little apartment outfitted with bunk beds, hammocks, and sleeping bags. Tilda was lying on her belly next to Boom and Gabby, watching the magical campfire at the center of the room. The flames sparkled and shifted in color from red to yellow to green to blue. Gabby, she said, did you see my parents before you left? The monkey hesitated. Your mother was looking for you in the park.
I need to go home, don't I?
Gabby nodded. The light of the fire reflected in her glasses. Boom put a leafy branch across Tilda's back.
Where do you live again? I'd be happy to accompany you if you'd like some, accompanying.
At that moment, Miss Anita and Quatch Monster burst into the room.
Miss Anita was wearing a huge, shiny suit of armor. The blobby monster had dressed himself in some kind of medieval gown and tall gray wig.
"Check it out! I actually look great as an old lady!"
"We found a room full of dragons," Anita continued before anyone could respond.
She twirled a huge broadsword and cut strokes in the air.
"So we had to go to some other room which had all the castle stuff. Now we're going to try to find the dragons again. Who's coming with us?"
"Before you ask, the answer is no," Quatch added. "No dragons will be hurt in the playing of this game."
That's when Tilda threw up her hands and announced, "I've got a better idea. I think it's time to make some music." Her friends looked at one another. Then the group erupted in cheers. After some searching through the labyrinth of Quatch's house, they finally found the recording studio. It was a round, domed room with a single microphone hanging from the ceiling. A computer and mixing board were standing off to one side. A white piano stood on another side. Lining the walls was an impressive selection of instruments, including percussion, woodwinds, brass, and strings. Mixed in with these traditional ways of making music were kitchen appliances, power tools, squeaky hinges, latex gloves, plastic combs, panes of glass, stacks of plates, and tons of other things which, with a little imagination, might be used to make musical sounds. Looking at all this stuff, Tilda wasn't sure where she should get started. Fortunately, Quatch Monster slid up next to her and stretched out a hand.
"Psst! Here you go."
"A kazoo!"
Tilda gasped, squeezing her squishy monster friend until he honked.
"Hey, honk!
Not in front of the band,"
he said, pushing her away and dusting himself off. Turning to the others, he shouted,
"Okay, people, it's time!"
"Rock and roll!"
Miss Anita bellowed, smashing a plate on the floor.
"Let's start rehearsal!"
Quatch squinted.
"Rehearsal? Who said anything about rehearsal? It's time for the show!"
he shouted, spinning himself around in a whirlwind of confetti. Then for a moment, everything went dark. When the lights came back up, they were standing on stage in front of an audience of thousands of creatures of every shape and size. Tilda recognized some of the faces from her travels. The dandy liger, the fancy mushrooms, Quatch's robotic roommates, Chirp, Cheep, and the whole donut farming family. There was a large group of colorful monkeys wearing glasses, all holding up signs in support of their returned sister, Gabby. There were even a couple of the unhappy creatures from the stay-and-play, who had apparently been able to pull themselves away from the clutches of the voot monsters. As Tilda scanned the crowd, her friends took their places on the stage. Gabby was holding an armful of dishes. Boom lifted two huge blue plastic barrels over his head. Miss Anita stood in front of a piano, wielding a sledgehammer. Quatch Monster had six electric guitars around his neck. Tilda noticed that they were all now wearing matching jumpsuits, the color of a golden summer sunset.
"Ahem, is this thing on?"
Quatch Monster tapped the microphone.
"I said, is this thing on?" "Ooh, okay. Then I'd like to say, first of all, thank you for coming out tonight. But even more, I'd like to thank my friend, Tilda! She traveled a really long way to come visit me. Now let's help her get home!"
The crowd erupted into applause.
"Since this is her concert, I think it's only fair that she kicks off the show. What do you think, everybody?"
Whistling and applause came from the crowd as Quatch pulled Tilda to the microphone and whispered in her ear,
"All right, they're all warmed up. Time for you to work your kazoo magic."
"Are you crazy?" Tilda said harshly. "I don't know how to start a song. We haven't even practiced. I thought you were going to play and I would back you up."
"Don't overthink it," Quatch said slyly. "Music just comes from the gut."
Bleh.
Tilda had to avert her eyes from the sea of faces in front of her. She shifted her attention to the blank white sky and let her mind wander. Now that it was time to leave, what would happen to her friends? What about the Voot monsters and Arthur? This beautiful, fantastic world was in danger. Something told her that she was the only one who could save it. But then she thought of her mother and father and little brother, and she knew what she had to do. So she sang. My house, take me back above the sea. That's where I live. Won't you come along with me? She couldn't tell if she was in tune or if there was any kind of melody to what she sang, and it didn't matter, because in the next moment, she lifted the kazoo to her lips and her friends joined her in full force. Quatch jammed on all six electric guitars simultaneously. Boom popped the huge blue barrels between his branches and threw them out into the crowd. Gabby smashed dishes and howled into the microphone. Anita destroyed the piano with the sledgehammer as if she was born to be on stage. And the crowd? They loved it! As the sound continued pouring out of the band, Tilda was buoyed up by the cheers of the audience. She was so caught up in the music of it all that she didn't even notice when Quatch Monster's flying bus scooped her up with its accordion doors and ferried her off into the blank white sky. That night, Tilda had dinner with her family in their new house, the apartment which she was still learning to call home. Her baby brother Otis screamed, puked, pooped, and laughed. Her father scolded her for hiding in the park for so long and for changing the color of her hair. Her mother lifted Otis out of his high chair. It's summer, honey, she said. Tilda should enjoy it while she can.
Well, tomorrow that's gonna change, her father said. Here, Tilly, we got this for you.
Reaching under the table, he pulled out a package, beautifully wrapped and decorated with a bow. What's this? Tilda asked.
A back-to-school present.
She unwrapped the gift. Inside was a brand new backpack, the color of a summer sunset. It wasn't exactly her style, but when she unzipped it and looked inside, she realized that she really had nothing to be afraid of. Not tomorrow at her first day in her new school, and not ever, because she wasn't going into this next adventure alone. Her friends would always be with her.
That wraps it up for this episode. If you would like a digital copy of our first book, just send us a picture of your favorite part of the story today. You can reach us at quatchmonsterpodcast@gmail.com or on Instagram. Thanks for listening.